الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين وقال تعالى في مقام آخر يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل معروف صدقه بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Respected علماء کرام, brothers and friends, السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اللہ رب العالمین has blessed you and me with the gift of ایمان, and the most there are two things. Everything will come fana in this world, will come to an end, will turn into dust. But there are two ni'mas that Allah will keep abad. One is your iman. And this is the dua that you and I should make. Allah Ta'ala grant us husne khatima. Allah keep our iman salamat. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come in my ummah that a person in the morning will be a mu'min, genuine mu'min, and by the evening he'll become a kafir. Because of influences, because of mahol, because of friends, because of an environment. And a person will be a kafir in the morning. And by the evening Allah will give him tawfiq to recite the kalima and he'll die as a mu'min. So if your iman can remain intact and salamat in this dunya, at the time of maut, your iman is salamat, intact. In your qabr, it will be intact. And in the akhirat, it will be intact. One day, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, do you know who is a muflis? Who is a poor person? So Sahaba Kiram said, Ya Rasulullah, you know best. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in reality, a muflis is that individual who in this dunya was an ibadat guzar. He had lots of ibadat to his credit. But on the day of Qiyamah, there'll be a host of people waiting to make claims against him. Wallah, he made my ghibat. Wallah, he slandered me. Oh Allah, he physically abused me. Oh Allah, he took my wealth. List of claimants. So Allah Ta'ala will instruct the angels, take this man's good deeds and give it to all the claimants who are making claims against him. Can you imagine the effort that you make in this dunya? One subhanallah is so precious, dost azizo. You will beg Allah Rabbul Alameen to send you back in this dunya just to say one more time subhanallah. Allah won't give you that opportunity. Finally, the claimants will claim and claim. and all your good deeds will be taken away and given to the person who has claims against you. And finally, the angel will say, "Oh Allah, this man has no more good deeds left. But still there's a line of people waiting to make claims against him. What do we do now?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says then, take his gunas, take their gunas and put it onto his head. So you earn so much of neki in this dunya, to be taken away and snatched away in the akhirat. Nobody does a deal like this, Dosto Aziz. So when we invest, we always want the investment to grow. So let us make peace with ourselves and Allah's makhluk before we leave this dunya. The point what I'm saying is Allah Ta'ala is going to keep two things salamat for you. One is your iman. All your good deeds will be taken away, but Allah will still keep your iman salamat. You kept it salamat in this dunya, in the qabr, in the akhirat, and also on the day of qiyamat, your good deeds will be snatched away. But Allah will still not take your iman away. Allah will still keep your iman intact. Number two, your wife who you married in this dunya, as I always say, nikah is that ibadat, which is the longest ibadat in the world. Namaz, roza, zakat has a time frame. But nikah, from the time you make niyat, that I want to fulfill this great sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're already being rewarded. And whoever is your partner in this dunya, Allah will keep her your partner in the akhirat. So that ni'mat of ziwaj and marriage and your partner, who was your partner in this dunya, Allah will keep her your partner in the akhirat. So alhamdulillah, respected brothers in Islam, is that Allah has blessed Lady Smith with the ijtima. Now what's the maqsad of ijtima? Jama hona. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when 40 Muslims gather in any place, from amongst them, there will be one person to be mustajabud dawat. There'll be one individual, you don't know who it is. But amongst that 40, there'll be one individual who will definitely be mustajabud dawat. And with the barakat of his dua, Allah accepts the entire majma's dua. So what should your dua and my dua be on a daily basis? Those two Aziz, we have so many challenges. And from all the ibadats, one particular aspect we are lacking in, and that is dawat and tabligh. The question you and I need to ask ourselves, I'm now 40 years old, 50 years old, did I, by chance, get anyone to pronounce the shahada? Did I make an effort on a non-Muslim brother or sister to invite her to the deen of Islam? Just to give you an idea, respected brothers, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he became the Khalifatul Muslimin, the king of Yemen accepted Islam, the Christian. He came to Makkah to make tawaf, umrah. And whilst making tawaf, an elderly man by mistake tramped onto his ihram and the ihram fell off. He got so furious, he clouted that elderly man. It was not his fault. It happens when there's a great rush, when you're making tawaf, people push you around. So while this king was making tawaf, this elderly man by mistake tramped onto his ihram and the ihram fell off. In anger, he slapped him. The old man went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and explained his situation and said, "I want justice. The man hit me for nothing." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala called him. He's a king. You see, in the eyes of Allah, equality is irrespective of who you are. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala called him and said that in Islam, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِسْلُهَا النَّفْسُ بِالنَّفْسِ. You kill a person in Islam, you'll be killed also. So justice. As you slapped him, he has the right to slap you back. So the king said, "I'm a king. I come from a noble family. You want this me to take a clout from this ordinary folk? This will never happen." Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "This is the law of Islam. Anyway, I'm giving you 3 days to decide." And that king, he knew what Islam is all about. Before 3 days could lapse, he ran away. He went back to his country. Sometimes later, Sahaba-i-Kiram went in the field of Dawat and Tabligh to Yemen. And the people of Yemen brought it to the attention of the king. There are people from Arabia who are dressed and they're speaking about Allah and His Rasul. So he said, "Invite them. I want to talk to them." So the Sahaba-i-Kiram went. They again gave him da'wat of tabligh, of Islam. He said, I'm prepared to accept Islam. I know I made a mistake, I ran away. Now I've realized the importance of Islam. I want to accept Islam with one condition. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gives me his daughter in nikah. At least I can explain to my people and my nation that Umar radiallahu ta'ala is such a great khalifa of Islam, and now I'm going to get married to his daughter. So the Sahaba Ikiram said that we don't have the authority to do that. But since you're insisting that you want to accept Islam on condition Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala gives his daughter in nikah to you, we're sending a messenger to Medina. So the messenger reaches Medina and delivers the message to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, why are you wasting time? Right there and then you should have said, no, alhamdulillah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala will give his daughter. But anyway, go and give him the glad tidings that I'm prepared to give my daughter as long as he read La ilaha illallah and is safe from the fire of Jahannam. So the messenger rushes back. And when he comes to the court of the king, he sees the janazah of the king leaving. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a lot of afsos. He said, why didn't you all at that moment say, gee, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala would have given his daughter to you, and the person would have left this dunya with La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So question here is, respected brothers, how many of us have influenced or helped or encouraged a fellow non-Muslim to accept the deen of Islam? Because you and I are going to be held accountable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, they will also stand there and say, Rabbul Alameen, as much as we were wrong, but nobody gave us the message of Islam. So we need to take cognizance. Khud nek bano aur dusro ko bhi nek bana. You want to become pious? Excellent. But also try to influence others to become pious and nek. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, one day was narrating a hadith to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, we cannot be selfish. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, safeguard yourself and your family from the fire of Jahannam. The first law that came to Rasulullah, wa anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin. Dawat and tabligh, amr bil ma'roof, nahi anil munkar, starts at home. Allah Rabbul Alameen is saying to Rasulullah, wa anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin. Forewarn your family. Make them close to Allah. Conscientize them. So it starts with your family. Naddar Allahu Imran is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah. See, when you make nikah, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said, apni shadi ku sadi banado. Shadi ku sadi banado. Which means, make your nikah simple. Sadgi in Urdu means simplicity. Shadi means marriage. So apni shadi ku sadi banado. And you want to promote Islam. You see, the problem is that we are living this lifestyle of extravagance. Another great wali of Allah said something nice. You see, may in Farsi means sharab. And may means ek, me, your ego. So this great wali of Allah said, may peekar, if a person drinks wine, he will sober up in a day's time. Sharab peekar ek din mein usko hosh aa jayega. Lekin agar insaan ke andar mein ho, ji, zindagi bhar wo sudrega nahi. So simplicity is the key. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you want to promote Islam, so first and foremost, you and I need to do introspection. Okay, how many people or persons did I influence and brought them in the fold of Islam? You have a neighbor, you have staff, you have garden girls, boys, everything. Have I spoken to my accountant? He's a non-Muslim. I have a maid, I have so many staff, 100, 200 staff. Have I at least said to them, what is the beauty of Islam? Hidayat is in the hands of Allah. Tumhara kaam pohchana hai. Your duty is to take the message forward. Hidayat dena Allah ka kaam hai. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Talib was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to his level best to support Rasulullah, protect Rasulullah, promote Rasulullah, did everything for Rasulullah. In the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam begged him, uncle, for Allah's sake, read La ilaha illallah. He
He's looking at the Quraysh leaders that are sitting there. See, pride. Ye ananiyat. Your greatest enemy is your nafs. So fight your nafs. You've got shaitan to fight outwardly. You've got your nafs to fight inwardly. So Hazrat Abu Talib is looking at all the leaders of the Quraysh seated around him. And he's looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And waiting for a response. Rasulullah is waiting for a response. And Abu Talib says, no, Ya Rasulullah, I won't read the kalima la ilaha illallah. I don't want my uncles here to say that he chickened out in the last minute. Ji, ghabra gaya. And now he has accepted Islam, he has left the deen of his forefathers. Passed away without iman. Rasulullah cried to Allah. Allah give him hidayat. But Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. Ya Rasulullah, you cannot give hidayat to whosoever you desire. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give hidayat to whoever He wishes. But nevertheless, it doesn't absolve you of your responsibility to at least give the message of Islam. This is the cry that we have. Allah ta'ala has given us the opportunity. We can interact with people. We have excellent dealings. And I always say, a businessman, as much as he's earning dunya, but he's a true ambassador of Islam. Thousands of customers come in your club, into your shop. Gee, your supermarket, your wholesale, whatever it is. Gee, what provision have we made to promote the deen of Islam? What hadith of Rasulullah? What quote of Rasulullah? Which ayat of the Quran have we placed in our wholesale? Or in our shop to say people, see, somebody said it very nicely. Even if a message is written on the wall, accept it. It's got hikmat and wisdom. Even if the message, you go to Pakistan and India, you find the rickshaws. At the back of the rickshaw, you'll find a share written there. On the taxi, on the bumper, you'll find a message written there. So a wise man said, even if the message is written on the wall, accept it and take heed from it. So the question here is, even if you are doing business, you can engage in Allah's zikr, and you can be also a da'i ilallah. You can be an ambassador of Islam. So you need to ask yourself and myself, as an alim, what have I done? As a businessman, what have I done? As an ordinary folk, what have I done? Have I invited people to Islam? Have I explained the haqqaniyat of Islam? The reality of Islam? Allah Ta'ala is going to hold us accountable. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, one day was narrating a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the Sahaba Ikram left, another Sahabi asked him, can you narrate me a special hadith of Rasulullah? So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala started shivering. And he started narrating that hadith, he fell unconscious. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala fell unconscious. So this Sahabi picked him up, revived him. He started narrating the hadith. Again he fell unconscious. The fear of Allah had gripped him. Third time he fell unconscious. So the Sahabi revived him. And then Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala said, you know, one day I was sitting with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Wudu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated this hadith. It's an amanat that I need to transmit to the ummah. What was that hadith? Okay, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will come, an alim. And Allah will ask him, what work you did for deen? He said, oh Allah, I was an allama. I was an orator, I was a mufassir, I was a muhaddis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, acknowledged, but you didn't do it for me. You did it for name and fame. Isko jahannam mein phek do. Take him, put him jahannam. A shaheed will come. Allah will ask him, what did you do? He said, Rabbul Alameen, I gave my life for deen and Islam. I became shaheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, acknowledge, but you didn't do it for me. You did it for people to call you a shaheed. Isko bhi jahannam mein le ja. A third person will be brought. He's a sakhi and a generous person. Allah Rabbul Alameen will say, my banda, what did you do? Rabbul Alameen, you gave me wealth. I spent it in your path. I did everything that you wanted me to do. Acknowledge, Rabbul Alameen will say. But Allah will say, isko bhi jahannam mein tasheed kar do. Because he wanted people to say that he's sakhi. So one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked the question, ke mal iman? What is iman? What is Islam? Rasulullah said, al-ikhlas. Do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected brothers in Islam, the purpose of the ijtima is to bring and foster unity in Islam. This is what is lacking. Our great akabirin, Hazrat Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan, When he was imprisoned in Malta for many years, and when they were released, when he came back, he made a statement. And he said, you see, I had enough time to ponder and think, okay, what is the shortcoming of Islam? Allama Iqbal said it very nicely. You see, we are very, very hasty, very impulsive. Masjid to bana di shabbar mein. Masjid to bana di shabbar mein. Iba ki hararat walon ne. If you and I now make an announcement here, we need to build a masjid next door. It must be ready tonight. Alhamdulillah, it will be ready. Because that's the jazba and shauk we have. And Allama Iqbal's complaint and shikwa is this, ki masjid to bana di shabbar mein. Muslims have built the masjid overnight. Ima ki hararat walon ne. Because they have the zawq and the iman and the jazba. They have the heat to do it. But what's the purpose of the masjid? What's the maqsid of the masjid? Man apna purana papi hai. We are still the same. Barso se namazi ban na sake. Years have gone by. Still I cannot read my 5 daily namazes. I'm still the same person, be namazi. But if you ask me to build a masjid, I'll do it now. But the maqsad of the masjid, to link you up with Allah, that we don't want to do. A great alim also said, hey Allah, tu hame amile Quran kar de. We have forgotten the Quran. So the great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I had time to sit and ponder, okay, what is the shortcoming of the Muslim ummah? He said, I found 2 things. Ek, they have forgotten to recite the Quran. Quran ki kami hai, is ummat ki andar. And number 2, ikhtilafat. I want to oppose you. Whatever you do at any cost, I will oppose. You see, ikhtilaf is rahmat. I have a difference of opinion. Alhamdulillah, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh says one thing. Imam Abu Hanifa says one thing. Alhamdulillah. Both of them, all 4 ulama, all 4 imams are practicing on the hadith of Rasulullah. That's the khususiyat of taqleed. That as a mu'min, the entire world is following every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam. So he said these 2 things. Weakness of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One is, we have stopped reading the Quran in Kareem. And number 2, we have become oppositions to each other. Sake of becoming friends to each other, we have become oppositions to each other. So alhamdulillah, in the field of Dawat in Tabligh, where you find 20,000, 15,000 Muslim brothers, one is the muhabbat that we have for each other, the love for each other, the sharing of each other. And as I said, in a great majma', what is the benefit of reading namaz with jama'ah? One is to show the unity and the solidarity of the entire ummah. Yadullahi ma'al jama'ah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, ki Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help is when we stand united. Wa'atasimu bihablillahi jami'ah. When we together, so it shows the world the unity of the Muslim ummah, the strength of the unit of the ummah. And as I said to you, from amongst those who are seated there, there'll be people who are mustajabud da'wat. So respected brothers, I have just come here to invite you. I've come here on behalf, mashallah, of the ulama and the people of Ladysmith. Please, inshallah, make yourself available on the 19th, 20th, 21st. Hadith Bhai Padiya is to frequent Ladysmith by Hadrat Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, rahmatullahi, every time. And I still remember when I built my house, the first talim took place in my house. Hadrat Baipadiya rahmatullahi made the dua and talim took place. Great, great ulama came for that ijtima in 2000 in Ladysmith also, insha'Allahul Aziz. So Allah has given us after 16 years once again the opportunity to host the ijtima. So as a duty, as a mu'min, Ladysmith, alhamdulillah, many of you have relatives and friends. In the olden days, you saw the historic town of Mehman Nawazi traveling to Johannesburg, Newcastle, Dundee. You had to stop in Ladysmith. So alhamdulillah, after a long time, Allah will give you an opportunity. And inshallah, we will try our best to do as Mehman Nawaz for you. One of the sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you want barakat in your rozi, first make khidmat of your parents. Number 2, if you want barakat in your rozi, be a mehman nawaz. Number 3, if you want barakat in your rozi, stay ba wuzu at all times. So inshaAllah, on behalf of the ummah of Ladysmith, inshaAllah, all of you would love to see you there, inshaAllah. Because what you are going to learn there, how to link yourself with Allah Rabbul Alameen. Somebody said it nicely. Time is up and I want to end it here. What is the purpose of the ijtima? It's to bring in realization into you that we have a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't make us purposeless. Allah ta'ala made us purposeful. And what was Rasulullah's tamanna? Ki har ek shakhs, har ek fard jannati bane. Rasulullah cried day and night, Allahumma ghfir ummati. Allahumma ghfir ummati. Rasulullah's fikr day and night was how hidayat can come into the life of individuals so that they could link up with the creator. But if you lose your ta'alluq with Allah, you lose your connection with Allah, see the repercussion. You see, Allah wale ne kaha ki Allah ko paakar kabhi kisi ne kuch nahi khoya. Allah ko paakar, if you get Allah into your life, you become Allah conscious. Allah ko paakar kisi ne kuch nahi khoya. You'll never lose anything. Allah will always be there with you. Or Allah ko khokar. And if you lose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kabhi kisi ne kuch nahi paya. You'll be nothing in your life. So the purpose of this ijtima also is to connect you with Allah Rabbul Alameen. Connect you with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, the four important amal that will take place there. One is da'wat, one is ta'aleem, one is zikrullah, and one is alhamdulillah ikrami mu'min. How to live with each other. So may Allah ta'ala make the ijtima a great success. May Allah ta'ala, your du'as, if you can't make, at least make du'a. The du'a that you make in the absence of your Muslim brother is more accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah ta'ala make the ijtima a great success. Make du'a that Allah will use all of us as a means for hidayat for the whole world. At least make this du'a. Ya Allah, give hidayat to the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, in Maidani Hashar, waha hujum hoga. Millions of people will be standing, each Nabi with his ummah. How would Rasulullah recognize you and me? Good question, I end it here. On the day of Qiyamah, how would Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognize his ummah? Hajj time now, you see all the different countries, each one has got a flag. Each one has got some indication that I belong to this country. On the day of Qiyamah, how will Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognize his ummah? Is by the parts that they washed in wuzu will glitter like the 14th night moon. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala used to wash his legs to his knees. So somebody asked him, ye fuzul hai. He says, no, I want Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recognize me on the day of Qiyamah because every part that you wash in wuzu will glitter and shine like the 14th night moon. So may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq wa akhiru dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.